The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is someday in the future with a mailbag. Super Friends mailbag. Joining me to break it down, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Reach, I didn't ask you this because I forgot, but I did ask Brinson. Did you get your nifty windbreaker from CBS commemorating the NCAA March Madness is about to descend upon us?
Not only did I get my nifty windbreaker, I wore it to the park over the weekend.
There you go.
And my daughter's running around just, you know, introducing herself to everyone because that's what little kids do. And I had at least two different people, both dads, saying, oh, that's a... You work for the Final Four? like what?
Oh, they didn't ask you if you're a basketball player?
Well, they're probably confused because it's the upcoming Final Four.
Right. I think they both noticed that. And it's like, why would you already have gear for the 2022 Final Four unless maybe you are like covering it or something? I was like, no.
Did you get asked if you wanted the gear? Was there an email?
No.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
Brinson did not get any, would be my...
Correct.
Why do Sorry, I? Brinson. Bull crap. Anyway, today is Thursday, February 24th. Mailbag is being released the same day. I don't know what the hell is going on. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, smash the like button. Feel free to comment on the video if you have don't ask a question of the video because it's not live, but comment anyway if you want to say hi. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button and make sure to turn on alerts when free agency gets rolling. You will want to have alerts turned on. In fact, really, right now, you might want to have alerts turned on for the YouTube page because we will go live frequently, far too frequently, quite honestly. Leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you're listening on there. Spotify just added the functionality to rate. And if you want your question answered in a future mailbag, leave a 5-star rating on Apple with your question, and we will get to it at some point this offseason. If it's draft-related, obviously, we'll bump it up for agency-related, et cetera, et cetera. Any questions like that, let us know. We did some Twitter questions for this show. Thunderball 1596 says, does defense still win championships? The past two Super Bowls seem to support that, but the Chiefs Super Bowl win was fueled by an offensive resurgence in the fourth quarter. Should teams thus invest more in defenses? You could also argue that the Rams investment in offense helped to fuel the Super Bowl as well. So that would be my immediate counter, but thoughts there on investing in defense versus offense.
Wilson,
I think if you're going to be investing in anything, you're investing in offense, right? I mean, what's the last good defensive team that carried their team to a playoff, like a deep playoff run? Like the Bengals defense got better as the season went on. The Chiefs defense last year got better as the season went on. Maybe the Patriots and the Rams Super Bowl a few years ago. They were really good, but again, that's more Bill Belichick game planning against a starry-eyed Sean McVay and a underpowered, undermanned Jared Goff. I'm trying to think, like, if you're giving me the choice of taking an elite edge rusher or an elite, not quarterback, because we know the answer to that, but elite, like, wide receiver, or maybe an offensive tackle. I think I'm ranking those things, offensive tackle, wide receiver, edge rusher.
Defense can win. I don't know. I don't necessarily. I think the question is not does defense win championships? Because I don't think a team that is completely based around their defense is going to make a, like the Baltimore Ravens, right? Is going to make a run and win a championship like that, or the 85 Bears. But I do think that teams that having a defense in the playoffs, having a competent defense, or having a defense that can create sacks, create turnovers, get pressure on the quarterback in the playoffs is necessary.
Well, I'll actually hold on. Let me just correct myself before people yell at me. And maybe this is what you're going to do, Breach. The Buccaneers last year had a good defense. So that's clearly right. Exhibit A. But they also had Tom Brady.
Right.
Right. Right. Go ahead,
Breach. And so to that, I would just say, I don't think, like to Brinson's point, I don't think we're going to ever see a team again like the 2015 Broncos, where, you know, the defense is carrying a limping Peyton Manning through the regular season and to a championship. That a team like that with an totally inept offense is probably not going to win the Super Bowl. So you see, you need something more than a strong defense. I think you need to be a team. And this year's Bengals is really a good example of, look, that offense was piling up points the entire regular season, but then when it got to the postseason, they didn't score 30 a single time. Their defense really carried them through the postseason. I mean, they didn't give up. 24 points was the most they gave up in any of their playoff games. They only gave up 16 to the Titans, 19 to the Raiders, and even the Rams only scored 23 in the Super Bowl win. So I think you have to have a good enough defense that's going to show up at some point. And it really feels like you have to have a good combination of both, which sounds like such a cop-out. You know, but one of the stats we've talked about is point differential. And when you have a high point differential, it usually means you have a good offense, but you also have a good defense because you're limiting the other team's scoring opportunities. And when you look at the last nine Super Bowls, eight of the nine champions ranked in the top six in point differential, including the Rams this year. So I just think you can't just completely build an offense and expect to outscore everyone, because that eventually fails. We've had 56 years of Super Bowls, and the NFL's passing champion has never won a Super Bowl. So it is hard to just throw your way to a Super Bowl without some sort of defense to back you up at some point, because at some point in the playoffs, your offense is going to have a bad game and you need a defense there to carry you, or vice versa. So I just think you got to build as evenly as possible, favoring the offense.
Yeah. I think if you, you look at so the Broncos had a top five defense in 2015, 2016, the Patriots beat the Falcons, and the Patriots were an average defense, but they have Bill Belichick. So, you know, I think that you provide a little bit of an asterisk there when you talk about that. The Eagles scored 141-33 against the Patriots, but they had a top five defense by DVOA that year. In 2018, the Patriots did not add they were like weighted.
Even with that Eagles Super Bowl, if Nick Foles doesn't play out of his mind, they're losing that game. So,
and that's the thing, is their defense. That's the opposite of this year's Bengals, where their defense carried them, and then the defense got blown out in the Super Bowl. So the offense had to do the heavy lifting in the Super Bowl, and somehow Nick Foles did it.
Right, and you know the 2019 Chiefs had an average defense. Like they were, you know, we forget about that. And they played really well down the stretch. So I just think I don't think that you would want to, and this kind of goes back to when you're hiring a head coach, right? Or you're an owner who's, you're hiring a GM, you're hiring a head coach, you know, what is their philosophy going to be? Like Ron Rivera is a good head coach, and I'm not saying he can't have a good offense, but for instance, you hire Ron Rivera, you're getting a program builder, but you're also getting somebody who's going to be focused on defense. You know, like look at Vic Fangio, right? I mean, go through the list. I mean, like
the issue may be more age than side of the ball, because Brandon Staley, who I love more than anyone, is a defensive guy.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying you can't hire a defensive guy. I'm just saying that I think sometimes that the approach to how they want to operate the team, like Mike Zimmer, right? I mean, Mike Zimmer had a lot of success in Minnesota, but he also, you know, doesn't want to have an offense that's like a championship caliber offense. And that's why I think you need to build around offense, but also make sure you can supplement it with defense. And if you want to win a championship, I mean, Breach, you're not wrong. I know it is like a cop-out, but like you have to have both. You have to have the 2009 Saints are a good example, elite level offense and a defense that, you know, even though it was fueled by bounties and illegal paid to players, was, you know, a team that could create a defense that could create turnovers, get hot at the right time, you know, got hot down the stretch. Same thing with the 2019 Chiefs. Maybe they weren't, you're not going to win with a bottom of the barrel defense. It needs to be an opportunistic defense but I would not want to build around defense.
So eight hires, new coaches were hired this offseason. Without looking and without thinking, first number comes to your head. How many were defensive guys? Go.
Two.
Don't think. All right, you're both right, two. I don't know if you cheated. Whoa. Or
no, I just guessed.
Yeah, two. And one, Dennis Allen, I don't even know if he counts because he was sort of already there.
Matt Eberflus.
But the other one's Matt Eberflus, right? Yeah. Who a lot of people like, and perhaps he's more like Brandon Staley in terms of being new agey with his philosophies as a head coach, as opposed to being a grizzled old defensive guy like Mike Zimmer, for example.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm not saying you can't hire a defensive head coach, but I think that defensive head coach needs to have a mindset about how they want to approach building the roster out and what their approach is going to be on offense. And just inherently, defensive coaches are going to be a little more conservative. Although I guess anyway. So to answer the question, yes, defense still wins championships, but not in the same vein that it used to 25, 30 years ago.
I think defense wins championships when it balances the offense.
Yeah.
Like the Rams are a good example. They're really good on both sides of the ball and they burn through all their picks and you know, that worked for them. It may not work for other people, but if the Rams didn't have a good defense, they probably would have lost. If they didn't have a good offense, they would have lost too. And Breach wouldn't be here. He'd be celebrating. I don't know, wherever the Bengals would celebrate.
In a river full of chili.
How was your daily cry today, Breach?
Brenton, it wasn't as long as the past 11 days. So yeah. It gets progressively shorter by about 3 seconds each day. But since the first one was 5 hours, we're just barely.
You imagine Breach's wife saying to his 18-month-old, yeah, don't go in that room, Daddy. Daddy's got cry time for the next.
She cries with me. The baby cries with me. Except she's like hungry or something.
It's like the gif of Tobias Funke in the shower, like it's like sobbing uncontrollably. Why does Daddy shower 7 times a day? Don't worry about it. He's just crying.
Brenton, the gloves are off. You don't get your windbreaker and you're all in on Breach.
just as an example from this year. So the Bill, and I'm looking at DVOA, the Bills number one defense by DVOA. And there was nobody with either the top four teams were a little more pushed out than anyone else. But Bills number one defense by DVOA had a really good offense too. And they were really close to making a Super Bowl run. So I mean, I think, you know, that's a good example of a team that could do that. The Cowboys number two defense by DVOA had a very good offense as well. You know, they could have made a playoff run. We don't trust Mike McCarthy to do it, but they had the sort of team where if they won the Super Bowl, you wouldn't be that shocked. And then three and four, the Saints and Patriots. And both teams either made the playoffs or were close to making the playoffs, but had massive deficiencies on offense that made it almost impossible to picture them winning the Super Bowl, right? Rams at five, Cardinals at six, both playoff teams, 49ers at seven. And then, you know, like all those teams could have won it. And then the Colts at eight. And Tampa at nine. Miami had the 10th defense by DVOA. I mean, I just think you can easily sort those teams by Super Bowl contender or not Super Bowl contender based on do they have a good offense? You know, do you trust their offense to carry them? And with the Colts, Dolphins, Saints, and Pats, it'd just be hard to picture them winning the Super Bowl, even with a top 10 defense.
Yeah, well, and the 49ers are a really good example because their defense absolutely carried them through the postseason. They didn't give up. Nobody even scored. Or I guess the Rams scored 20 on them, but they didn't give up more than 20 points in any of those games. You know, they shut down Aaron Rodgers. They held the high scoring Cowboys to 17 points. Yeah. And so, but again, if you don't have that offensive help, that defensive, it's only sustainable for so long. And we saw it end in the NFC title game, the game they probably should have won because they were winning by 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue that they could have easily won the Super Bowl, but
they didn't even get there.
Right. If you give them a little more offense and you feel really good about it. Okay. You
put a little more stick them on Jaquiski Tartt's gloves.
There you go.
Jaquiski.
It's Steve Lovell says, how long until we talk about Aaron Rodgers being a flat track bully? I love it.
All right. So first of all, I had to look that up. Do you guys know without looking what a flat track bully is?
I thought it was like a golf term where you just sort of go low on like really easy courses.
And what were you going to say, Breach?
Well, I also looked it up because I was not going to come in here looking like a fool.
Brent is right. It can be, in general, a sports person who dominates inferior competition, but that right. works for the golf yeah. comparison as well. Well done.
Thanks.
Brenton is not a flat track bully in golf.
Well, good on the guy asking the question for getting us to educate ourselves.
I thought he had
I thought he was pulling something from like a country song.
Mistyped something, yeah. But hey, joke's on us.
Did you see the, speaking of country songs, did you see the...
Oh, boy. No. If it's country related, no.
No, no, no. The clip, the Applebee's thing, the CNN.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
All right, so it's Steve Lowell.
Great how he can do well in the regular season against the Bears, but isn't it about time the serial MVP showed up in the playoffs?
Well, let's turn the question around. As a Steelers fan, would I want Aaron Rodgers on my team for 3 first-round picks?
Yes.
Hell to the yes. as that guy that was doing the Miami game said 15 years ago. Or hell to the no. Yeah, absolutely. I do. That doesn't change the fact that it, perhaps he doesn't show up against the biggest competition, but I do wonder... Is this a function breach of just Tom Brady being so good for so long that we think everyone's supposed to be that good, or just Aaron Rodgers choking moments he shouldn't?
I do think it's a combination of both. Man, two questions where I'm just copping out totally here. But you do have Tom Brady has spoiled us all, and Tom Brady has set the bar so high that it's going to be impossible for any quarterback to meet that standard where you say, hey, look, we've got this guy who's won 4 MVPs. How come he hasn't won more Super Bowls? Tom Brady doesn't have 4 MVPs, and he won 7 Super Bowls. And so it does feel like Aaron Rodgers absolutely should have more rings on his fingers. And you look at what happens in the postseason. I don't remember, someone this week wrote a big critique of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's something I think we've all been saying, haven't done a long form piece on it, is that he kind of gets tight and puckers up in the playoffs. He doesn't take these risky throws. He's not, I mean, we always talk about how his interception total was so low. It's because he doesn't take a ton of risks, especially in the postseason.
Would you, or would you not want him on the Steelers in 2022?
I would not.
Okay. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, no, no, this is not. And Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback in the NFL going into next season. There's no doubt about that.
The two-time reigning MVP, yeah.
But does that mean that he hasn't struggled in the playoffs? I mean,
no, I get that.
All right, let's remember, for whatever crazy reason, this is because this is so long ago, but and this is because of how stupid, you know, covering the NFL has been for so long. Like, after he lost to the Cardinals in his first playoff game, they're sort of like, oh. God, is this the guy Favre? I mean, can he win in the big moments? It's like he threw for 423, 4-1. And then the very next year comes back and has a fairly epic, although he laid an egg against the Bears in the NFC title game, in a game where Jay Cutler couldn't play because of an injury that, like, people called him soft for, but otherwise had an almost perfect run in the postseason, including an outstanding Super Bowl. You know, wins a Super Bowl. So let's kind of look at it from after that. And I think you can put the losses in some context.
But well, real quick, that first game was the one where they lost in overtime.
It was an insane
game. Nobody blamed that on Rodgers. Nobody was saying, you know, because remember Peyton Manning had that he can't win the big game. And no one blamed that first loss on Rodgers. And like you said, he won Super Bowl next season. So there was nothing there. But then they went.
Well, there was at least like a, oh, like, the, you know, like the guy who replaces Favre didn't get to, you know, can't beat the, I think there was some of that.
I think it started more when they went 15-1 in 2011, looked like one of the best teams in NFL history,
which is
where you're going, and then lost in the first round.
Yes. So they lose to the Giants, the eventual Super Bowl champion Giants. Rodgers goes 26-46 for 264, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Like, that Giants team had a great defense, and that was a really, really bad loss for the Packers.
Hold on. That Giants team actually had a horrible defense, but they played great in the playoffs. They were the lowest ranked defense to ever win a Super Bowl.
Oh, right. But they had pass rush. Like,
it all came together in the playoffs. The defense was, if you just go by the playoffs, they were like the 1985 Bears. But when you look at the entire regular season, they had a pretty bad regular season.
By the way, it's worth noting, Steve Lavelle, I can't read, doesn't ask about how good Aaron Rodgers is. He just says, shouldn't he show up in the playoffs?
Yeah, we're going through.
I know, but I was just sort of saying, I love Aaron Rodgers because he's good. I want him on my team. But the reality is, as you guys are noting, that he hasn't showed up.
Packers were an eight point favorite in that game and lost by 17.
That was a really bad loss at home to lose by 17 to the Giants, a team that, you know, snuck in as a wild card. Beating the Falcons.
So that loss can probably be a little bit pinned on him.
Yes. The following year, they beat the Vikings pretty handily. Didn't have big stats. Then they lose by 14 points to the 49ers. That was one of those Colin Kaepernick teams. He has 257 passing yards, 67% completions, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. I don't think we put all that on him. That was really on everybody's pointing at the Green Bay defense. You gave up 45 points. You know, right. you score 31 points in the playoffs, you expect to win. Yes. The next year they lose again to the 49ers, 23-20. Rodgers is 17 of 26 for 177 yards and a touchdown. He's got to take some of the blame for that one, right?
Yes.
Okay. The following year, they beat the Cowboys. He had that epic throw to the sidelines to, was it Jared Cook? Is that right? What did Jared Cook?
I'll give you credit for that. It seems like a good guess.
Sounds right.
Or is it Jermichael Finley? I think it was Jared Cook.
Jermichael Cook.
It was...
Gerald Finley.
Stop it.
By the way, while you look this up, let me tell you something quickly that you will not believe.
It was Jared Cook. 36 yes. yards.
Yep.
I just on third and 20.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to say this out loud, but I will for fear of repercussions. I just got a text from Spanky Wankman, which is how I have Sean Wagner Goff in my phone.
You actually have it saved as Spanky Wankman?
Yeah, I love it. Just because someone called him that, like some reader was angry with him and about something he wrote. He said, if we're planning, he's talking about me, if we're planning to watch the Arsenal game, don't tell him what happens because he's going to be in class and he wants to watch it and enjoy it later. So I said, I'm not going to tell Brinson that because he'll just text you every 5 minutes. But I just told you because it's just too good not to.
What time, what time is Arsenal play on Thursday?
It must be 2:45, maybe 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Just asking for a friend.
I'll be providing updates.
Don't text live, that before, so.
Live updates coming, baby. No, I'll forget to do it. Don't worry. Okay. So anyway, moving along through Rodgers, they beat Dallas. Then they lose to Seattle 22-28. He's 19.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Where are you?
Yeah. He beat Dallas.
Oh, no. And the Jared Cook game was the 34-31. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
The first Dallas game was the Dez Bryant catch game.
Oh, God. That's right. And that's right. That's the did Dez catch it. But Rodgers played great in that game.
I can already hear Cowboys fans. They were probably saying, you guys got it wrong the whole time. Then you started the soccer conversation and they're still mad. And then we had to flip back and correct ourselves. But yeah, the first one was the Dez catches game.
Then they play the Seahawks.
Now, hold on. And they blew. That's the Seahawks game is where they blew the lead.
Oh, my God. That's right. That's where they in the championship game where Russ, it goes to overtime and Russ throws the walk-off winner and Michael Bennett's riding the police bike.
They were up 19-7 with 2.5 minutes left.
A couple things. The onside kick that got messed up by, I don't remember the kid's name, but he
Richard
got
Rogers.
Well, I was going to say we shouldn't bring his name up because he was getting death threats. And I'm sure that only rekindled some fires and some angry Packers fans. Number one. Number two, that was a game where Mike McCarthy kicked a field goal 25 times from the 2-yard line.
Yep.
So I can't blame that on Aaron Rodgers, even though he just haven't.
Rodgers played poorly, but that was a really good Seattle defense, and McCarthy was conservative as hell.
Right. And to the point, I don't know, was McCarthy fired shortly thereafter a breach or no, was that a while after?
Okay. That was a while after.
More than a year?
Like 3 years.
Mm.
So 2016 or after the 2015 season, they play NFC East champion Kirk Cousins, the Washington football team. In Washington, beat them handily. Rodgers plays fine. It wasn't a close game and he played well. They lose to Arizona the next week at Arizona. He didn't play that well.
So was that the
other overtime game? Yes.
They scored 20 points. One of those touchdowns was a Hail Mary on the last play of the game. Right. So it's,
you can kind of pin that one on Rodgers.
The Cardinals deserve to win. They played better. The Packers got one very awesome, I would say lucky, but Rodgers is so good at that it seems more like a skill play at this point. And then that sent it to overtime. And then obviously they lost.
God, the Cardinals got absolutely smoked by the Panthers in the NFC Championship game that year, too. It was like 45-19 or something.
Oh, yeah. Didn't, I remember that game.
Who was their starter?
Carson Palmer.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah.
We're in the Broncos Panthers.
Right.
Yeah, Jake DeLong.
That whole double Cowboys game has completely thrown me off.
So then the next year, they have the boat game where they. They crushed Ben McAdoo's New York Giants after the Odell Beckham boat picture.
For that?
What's that?
Does he get credit for that at least? Or are you blaming the people going on the boat for him not for that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers?
No, he threw for 360 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no picks. They absolutely destroyed him. He gets all the credit in the world. Then they beat Dallas in that.
It's all the credit there.
That's the Jared Cook. Yep, that was him. Then they lose 44-21 to a dominant Falcons team. Rodgers played fine.
I'm splitting this one up as like 60% the defense, 40% the offense. Because although the defense gave up 44 points, so if the scoreboard says it was a blowout, the Packers had 0 points at halftime. So if you're not getting, if you're the defense not getting any help from the offense, that's a problem. If you get shut out in the first half, that puts some of the loss on the offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's fine. And so next year they beat Seattle. Oh, no, sorry, not the next year. They don't go to the playoffs again under Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy gets fired. So now we have 3 years of Matt LaFleur coaching the team beginning in 2019. They beat Seattle at home and then lose, absolutely get boat raced by the 49ers. Rodgers' numbers aren't great in that game, but that was pretty much on the defense.
But also, fun fact, second playoff game in a row where 0 points in the first half from the offense. That's two in a row where you get shut out in the first half. That puts your defense on its heels. So again, I'm get, put 64. A little blame on the offense there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the defense can't give up 37 points either.
Right. Exactly. They got absolutely destroyed. Then they beat the Rams. That was was that John Walford? Or was that this?
Oh gosh, it may have been.
Oh man.
No, Goff played in that game.
No, that was where they thought Walford got hurt the week before.
That's
and
right.
Goff
that's
came
right.
in because he wasn't going to play with his injured thumb. Hey, and it seemed like McVay was doing whatever he could not to play Goff.
Yeah, that's right. And then they lose to Brady. That one, you can't give up 31 points to Tom Brady when you intercept him four times.
And also, you can't kick a field goal when you're down eight in the fourth quarter with a minute and a half left.
You can.
Well, I guess you can.
But you should.
I don't put that game on Rodgers. That one's more on LaFleur in the defense.
Yeah.
And then this loss to San Francisco, you can definitely put on Rodgers. So I think it's
here's the other question before you sort of give us your summation there. How much, like, there are games we can point to that Tom Brady has played absolutely horrific, including the Packers game 2 years ago before they went to the playoffs and threw three interceptions, the Super Bowl, I mean. So I wonder how you weigh that against Rodgers' average replacement level performance, if you want to call it that.
So I don't think that I think he's had some bad. If I were to take if we were to split the pie, take all the playoff losses since they won the Super Bowl and place blame, I think Rodgers is probably getting like 30% of it.
If you look at their last four playoff losses, they are averaging 4.25 points per game in the first half.
Well, that's not acceptable.
Right. So like automatically, you're probably going to be trailing. Your defense 14. Is playing on its heels. You're not scoring more than 4 points per game in the first half. That's a problem.
But I mean, look, we could blame Rodgers, but is that a function of conservative play calling? Because you get to the playoffs and you know.
Well, it's a combination of LaFleur and McCarthy. It's not like all these games are McCarthy. So yeah, we can blame the coaches, but it's.
But there's two coaches and one quarterback. There's one constant. There's one constant here, and it's the quarterback.
All right.
I don't think Rodgers is like some playoff choker.
Send him to Pittsburgh. That's the only solution.
It is just weird. It's been like Murphy's Law, which is funny because the president's name is Mark Murphy, where just everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for the Packers in their playoff losses.
And let's not forget, we got to pin some on the special teams against San Francisco. I mean, you know.
And the Seattle game years ago, the onside. Sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's no, Rodgers is probably fine, but these playoff losses, playoff losses are a fine line. Like Tom Brady has, you have all these moments where Tom Brady could have ended up being like, this guy botched, you know, eight Super Bowl chances, or, you know, he had like, he went to the Super Bowl eight times and won one game, or, you know, had a bunch of close wins in the playoffs. So just these playoff games are just close. And, you know, sometimes you have fluky results, but yeah, I think you could safely say that Rodgers could use some more playoff wins. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a couple more questions. At Godless Key asked, the last two Super Bowls at State Farm Stadium brought us the helmet catch and Malcolm Butler's INT. What crazy play or memorable moment will come out of next year's big game in Glendale?
Mason Rudolph, 99-yard scramble, game-winning touchdown.
God.
That's easy.
Dwayne Haskins, touchdown pass in the corner.
Right, to Mason Rudolph.
That would be hilarious. I'm going to say an Evan McPherson 53-yard field goal off the upright.
And they lose again.
I didn't say. Got to add some drama here. People have to have a reason to watch.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'll just say generically, though, a field goal off the upright.
Oh,
dramatic on the final play of the game, right?
Let me give you my Super Bowl prediction. I think I have it written down somewhere. Oh, I know what it is. Here it is. You ready?
Oh, two middle fingers.
No. I said this on HQ like right after the Super Bowl because they asked me crazily. My Super Bowl prediction is the Eagles over the Broncos. And you can do the math. Who do you think is starting quarterback? One is easy. One you have to do a little math on.
Is it Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. That's pretty obvious, I guess, huh?
So well, that's the only way those two teams are getting to the Super Bowl.
Three first round picks for Russ. If you're the Eagles, I do that in a heartbeat. Maybe you split them up. You don't do all this year, whatever. And then, of course, Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers connection. But that's my Super Bowl prediction. Eagles over the Broncos. Remember that, Breach.
I'm going to say that after another incredible drive down the field, including a no-look pass to Cooper Kupp.
Here we go. I knew it.
Matthew Stafford throws a touchdown pass, a game-winning touchdown pass to Odell Beckham to topple the Chiefs and to solidify all the things that I love about Matthew Stafford.
But then we're debating whether or not he deserves to go in the Hall of Fame because he threw that game-winning touchdown pass after throwing four interceptions in a game.
Exactly. And he set the single season interception record by throwing 60 interceptions.
Someone's bitter about the Super Bowl loss.
He threw two interceptions.
One was the receiver's fault. The other was an arm punt.
All right. Well, they're interceptions. They count as interceptions.
Hey, you know what doesn't count as an interception? A Super Bowl win.
It's true.
Well, no, it's a different.
This guy dunking on me.
It's a different category.
You're dunking on a guy who had to watch his team losing the Super Bowl. I'm so surprised about it every day, Brinson. How low can you go?
That's how low. You're looking at it.
You don't even know. You don't know how low I can go.
I think I have some idea.
All right. 15 minutes. Here. Let's get to these final two.
Wait, what was Wilson? What's your non-Mason Rudolph 99-yard scramble prediction?
Oh, I wanted to get my Super Bowl prediction just so I get it.
Okay. That's
and then,
Russ versus Rodgers.
Yeah. I think and Eagles versus Broncos. I think that's saucy enough. And who knows what will happen once we get there. But perhaps as
But the other thing too is like, you know, we talk about all these Rodgers playoff games. I mean, Rodgers to Devontae Adams in the corner of the end zone, Big Ben Santonio Holmes style to walk off his career with the second Super Bowl would be pretty incredible.
Yeah. No one's talking about all the other stuff if he does that. And I think two Super Bowl wins is certainly enough over the course of that career. So people quit whinging about that he hasn't gone to the Super Bowl enough either.
Yes. Right. Just like Peyton got the second one and everybody's like, all right, cool.
But the reality is Peyton shouldn't have gone to any of them. So the fact that he made one was a miracle. The fact that he won two is happens to be in the right alternate universe. He's in the exact right universe. All right. What's next?
Next.
I can tune out for this one. Go ahead.
At the _ Pablo man as your number one fan from Scotland. Shout out, Scotland. What Scotch?
Good day, mate.
What Scotch single malt whiskeys have you tried? Also, what teams do you think will be looking to draft our very own Scotsman, David Oyabo, and how high will he go? Top 10.
You guys want my Scotland story real quick?
Sure. Well,
just so we're clear, I was doing an Australian accent, and I was ripping up Dumb and Dumber.
That's why I laughed, because it was funny. I got it, Wilson. It's only 30 seconds long. It's not even that good of a story. So when I went to Europe with my wife, we flew into Scotland, and you know, if you go in, we fly overnight, don't sleep, and then go out that whole day and check things out so that you're dead the next day and you get used to the time zone and you can just fall asleep right away. So we're out to dinner in Glasgow. I thought
you were going to say you guys made out the whole time on the airplane. That's why you didn't get any sleep.
Well, I mean that too, but it's frowned upon because there's so many children around. We're at a restaurant at like 7:30 p.m. in Scotland. And we have not slept in probably 23 hours. And I literally fall asleep at the dinner table. And I probably looked punch drunk. And my wife had to wake me up. And then we had to walk back to the hotel.
What were you eating?
I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, that is a great story.
I couldn't tell you anything about this restaurant other than my wife shaking me. Like, all right, pay the bill so we can go.
So to recap, Breach flew across the ocean, went to a restaurant and fell asleep.
Great story.
This guy's a writer.
Talk to me about the draft, Wilson.
So David Ojabo, I didn't know he was of Scottish ancestry.
Neither.
Edge rusher, had a great season. Some people think that he might end up being better than Aiden Hutchinson. He went to Michigan, played opposite him on the line there. And I think I had him going like top 15 for sure in my latest mock draft, and typically right around that range. He's good, man. He's really good. And if you need an edge rusher and you're picking in the top 15, he is not a bad way to go. And he could even go higher than that, especially for teams that see the potential in him, as we like to say, because just scratching the surface.
And of course, everybody's favorite Scottish player is the Scottish Hammer, Jamie Gillen, who got cut by the Browns recently.
He's the part.
And I think got signed by the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah. He has the long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your favorite
So I mean, I'm not as big a Scotch guy as I am a bourbon guy. My dad is a big.
What's the difference? One's just in Kentucky. Is that it?
American versus Scottish.
But it's similarly made.
Yes, I think so. But
do they taste similarly?
They do taste similarly, but not all the time.
Gotcha.
Scotch is a lot peatier and like a lot sort of
earthier,
smokier, earthier, I think. And bourbon maybe can tend to be a little sweeter, a little oakier.
Gotcha.
So those, I think, I mean, and rough approximation there. I would say that, so Lagavulin, well, I don't know if that's, I mean, like, I know these are some of the ones I've had. Macallan 12 is freaking awesome. My in-laws got me some of that for my birthday, and it is fantastic.
Is that what you bought, Breach, on your weddings in Miami when you didn't invite me out?
The only Glenlivet and, what'd you say, Macallan? I think those are the only two scotches I've ever had in my life.
I assume Johnny Walker's.
Oh, yeah, I guess Johnny Walker. Does that count?
My dad drinks Johnny Walker Black Label. Johnny Walker Blue Label is incredible. That's what Jerry Jones drinks, $200 a bottle.
How much is Black Label a bottle?
Not $200.
Yeah, like 40 bucks a fourth. Oh,
okay, that's different. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a huge difference. Maybe it's 60 bucks. I'm not sure. Glenfiddich, I've had a lot of. What was I looking at? Springbank. Let me see if I can find Springbank. Yeah, Springbank. Springbank 10-year is $100 a bottle. I want to say over Christmas that my dad had busted out like a Springbank 12, or I don't know if they have a 15, but it was a really, really nice scotch. But Springbank, very good as well. I'm trying to think if there's any other. There's a ton more, obviously. Glenlivet is very good. And these are probably like more generic scotch. Like I don't know. I've never been to Scotland, so
I don't. Rich went to sleep there once at a restaurant.
I did. I went to Edinburgh too.
So I have a question for
you. You might have been telling the story, but I wasn't listening. Did you say you went on like a tour?
I went to Stirling, Glasgow. Had to go see William Wallace's sword.
Yeah. Could you pull it out?
You didn't go like a scotch tasting tour or anything?
We did not.
That's a mistake.
I mean, we had plenty of scotch.
Okay. Do you remember the ones you drank?
No.
Okay.
I fell asleep at the restaurant. You think I remember anything?
Right.
We're lucky to remember I had any scotch at all.
I have a question for Pablo, man. The typical Scottish drinker. What do you think the mix is between beer consumption and perhaps scotch consumption? That's my question for Pablo, man. Breach, you were asleep the whole time, so I would ask you, but you probably don't have no recollection.
I would guess that in Scotland, there's more scotch.
I don't know. There are a lot of
It seems like a lot of people drink beer, though, because we were at a few pubs, and there was a lot of beer being drank.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't just drink scotch all the time.
I mean, you can.
I mean, yeah, you can.
Yeah, then you get like, your own podcast, and it's called The Pick Six.
Oh!
That's hard.
Pick
so
six
quiet.
Scotches.
Yeah, there you go. That's your future.
From Spinny G, you're dropped on a desert island with a solar-powered boombox and allowed to bring one album to listen to for the rest of your days. One musical album. I love this question because we used to do a list of 10. We would, when we ran our old site, Brossom, we would ask people to give us your 10 desert island albums that you could take with you. You know, and you can see you had to pick a list of 10 albums that you would take on a desert island. But this is just one album. On a solar-powered boombox, what album are each of you taking? Before we embark on this, I think this is an important one, or this is an important distinction for me. Do live albums qualify?
I don't care. I mean, unless you're on some Phish album that's 20 hours. Is that what you're trying to do?
It can't be one you like made at home and where you meshed a bunch of songs together.
No, that's not a mixtape.
The band released an album that is a live performance of theirs.
I think you're going to get a sick of the audience applauding all the time. This is the rest of your life.
No, I think he's trying to loophole in three or 4 hours.
Okay. So like the Last Waltz. No, it's not about time. It's just about like my favorite albums, but like the Last Waltz.
If it's, you know, if it's 2 hours or whatever, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. If it's 8 hours, then that's where I have a, I might have to take it up with the board. Okay. But at the end of the day, I'm fine with it. That's fine.
Okay.
I think I have my album. Actually, not as hard as I thought.
All right. What's your album?
I'm going to go with Low End Theory, Tribe Called Quest, 1991. I listened to that a lot in college, and I was thinking, like I don't want to listen to, like Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg nonstop. But, like, Low End Theories, you can chill out, and, you know, you'll be laying there staring at that GD boombox all day, so you might as well try to chill out as you try to figure out a way to grow some herbs on that island so you can relax.
Well, see, that's the thing with this question is, if it's 10 albums, you're going to want to
mix it up. Yeah,
you're going to want to have some diversity in there. Like, you know, some days you're going to be feeling hyped up. You're going to want, you know, that right. Dr. Dre album. This is one album. So it's not about, like, check out what kind of cool, like, music I appreciate. You're not like,
because no one's going to be there. It's just going to be
you're by yourself. Like, if you're like, if you want, like, a Beethoven symphony, you know, like by all means, go for it. If you like listen to crap, like, you don't want to be like, oh, Nirvana, Nevermind is a seminal rock album of the
right. Nine Inch Nails, and you're killing yourself because Trent Reznor's yelling and screaming for
drowning yourself, like tying a rock to yourself. Exactly. Breach, do you know, or do you want me to go?
I would go with
Britney Spears,
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Ah, there it is.
That's Cracked Rear View.
Is that the first one?
It was the first one. I think it might have been the first album I owned. And it just says, like Brinson just said, you have to stick with something. You have to listen to it for the rest of your life. Mm. So you are thinking you want to, like, most of the songs on the album.
None offense.
But there's like six or seven good songs on that album. So that gets you through. There's no album where you like every song.
You know, it's funny, Breach.
Or like, I love every song.
I am so old that must have been my sophomore, junior year of college, I got a bootleg of some Hootie songs before they came out, and they were sort of an underground band. And then the next year or so, that album you're talking about came out, and they obviously were big, but I was on the Hootie train, something not very many people would brag about, a good 18 months before they became what they became. All right, I can't wait to hear Emo Brinson's pick here. We need Spanky McWankman.
Wilson, I hope the statute of limitations is passed on you admitting that you were getting bootleg albums, or you're going to have the Napster people come after you.
Napster people.
Who shut down Napster? The motion picture. Somebody sued everyone. That's who's coming after you.
All right.
They'll make you pay for those albums.
I can't believe you actually just said, if I had to take one album to a desert island, it would be Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hey, it's upbeat. Breach is pretty upbeat.
It's your...
Why are you get
going? Well, I can't wait to make fun of Brinson's choice now.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be.
It'll be the Fish live from Canada. Their American stuff is good, but whenever they go to Canada, they just take off. It's way different.
You done made Breach mad. Yeah. The thing is, you're not wrong. I can't go ahead. Let's hear it.
You're not that far off.
Widespread.
Well, I mean, it's definitely going to be a widespread album if I pick my.
There it is.
Although, Well, no, I was just going to say, like, if one album, it's got to be something I know I can listen to over and over and over and over and over.
That's why Breach picked Hootie.
I know. It was just Hootie and Blowfish is out of left field. I feel like that's fair to say.
No, like I picked, what? I said Britney Spears. That's his genre. Like, he likes.
Did you know that Breach liked Hootie and the Blowfish? I didn't.
But there's not a huge jump from Britney Spears to Hootie, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Is Breach like, career said, development in the early 2000s?
If he said Bjork or something, I'd be like, okay, wait a second. That doesn't make sense.
Yes. Hootie's a little surprising. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. Go ahead. What is it?
You're just jealous because really I bet that was Brinson's album, and now he's mad because I have it on my island, so he can't have it on his island.
Scrambling to replace Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yes. That's filibustering.
No. I was going to say that I'm not filibustering. Like, if I could take a live album, that's what I would take.
Take it. We don't care.
I would take either The Last Waltz or
Is that Widespread?
Yeah, no, that's the band. And they have tons of guests on there. It's incredible. And it is like, you know, produces a CD, but it's like, yeah, it's like four, it's like, it's a ton of songs. So it's just sort of unfair. Panic in the Streets, or Light Fuse Get Away is the Panic in the Streets concert. That's a live one too. And then My Morning Jacket, is it Okinos? That I would look at taking. If I had 10 albums, for instance, like, I'm definitely taking a Sturgill Simpson album, and I would have to pick which one I'm taking. I would consider Sturgill Simpson's Bluegrass for the island, because I think that's a pretty good, fairly good island vibe. But I'm going to go Panic Every Day, the red album.
I think all of my albums would probably be out of the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, or like early 2000s. Right. For sure. I mean, that's, Well, that's just what we listen to, is like, you know, when you're in your teens, it's like something you listen to in your teens that you probably wore out, that you can listen to over and over again on an album, on an island. I mean,
so Breach just said his first tape or CD was Hootie. What was yours, Brinson? I know mine.
I think mine was Pearl Jam 10.
So I got a CD player for Christmas, like in 19. Yeah. Like it was like,
I take that back. I take that back. Pearl Jam 10 was the first one. Like I went and bought, I think by myself at a, like I, yeah. My mom let me go in. I think it was definitely like an MC Hammer situation
involved. Right. Early night.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.